If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Most of us know what it's like to either be or to have been at one time accountable to a parent. There was a police recruit that was asked during an exam. He said, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own mother?" And without missing a beat, he said, "Call for backup." Well, you know, all of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what we began looking at a couple of weeks ago. And I'd like to pick up on that study. But you know, none of us are going to be able to call for backup, are we? We're going to be there to give an account, and I was rejoicing in all the wonderful songs that we sang, but in the first one particularly, I was thinking about when he said, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And that brings joy to our hearts to know that, does it not, as believers, to know that when that roll is called up yonder, we're going to be there. But beyond that, the third verse of that song, he says, "Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun." And I thought how appropriate that is in thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and being accountable to him for our works and for our labor here when that roll is called up yonder and to give that account. So I'd like to pick up on where we left off. And I'd like to read some scriptures here that deal once again. And you may want to stick a little bookmark in some of these passages as we may be flipping back and forth to some of them. First is here in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Another passage dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14, beginning in verse 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And just as a quick review of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we began to look at the word that is used here in Scripture for this judgment seat of Christ, particularly here, that judgment seat, the word being the bema seat, as we've often heard the word used. And so we looked at the picture there that presents for us as the Lord Jesus Christ there presiding there as the judge that we will give an account to. And just being reminded that, you know, we rejoice and we remember the Lord Jesus when we come to the Lord's Supper every week. And I'll tell you, it's my favorite time of the week, is to come together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to be thankful for what He has done for all of us. And in that light, to know that we're going to see Him on that throne. We're going to give an account to Him on that throne. Being reminded, seeing, I'm sure, the marks of Calvary still in His hands. And to realize that this is the one who gave His all for us. And we're going to give an account to Him in that day. And then we talked about the people there at the judgment seat of Christ, which we know is going to be all of us as believers who have trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation. We've talked about the purposes there of the judgment seat of Christ, and the first being that He is just going to, we're going to be examined there. And that examining, and the question that is associated with that is, what have I done? Because our works is what's going to be brought into review at the judgment seat of Christ. What we have done for our Savior while our time here, since we've known Him and trusted Him as our Savior, what have we done? That will be examined. And then what is examined there by way of our works, the next thing is that there will be an extraction of what He sees. Of the works that are there, there will be an extraction that will take place, because it will be put to the test of fire. And only those which last the test of fire will then go for reward. So that extraction will take place. And then there will be an exposing that will take place also, dealing with the motives behind. The question there, and the second one, is how did we serve Him? We see that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that we're to take heed how we build on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then not only how we do it, but when the motives are exposed, the question is why did we do what we did? And so I'd like to think of those things which would lead in to the thought of, well, if this is what's going to happen, if this is the purposes behind our being there, well, how can we prepare for that day? How can we be prepared for that day? You know, when we, a month or two ago, when we looked at the judgment for unbelievers, at the Great White Throne judgment, the thought that we had there was, wouldn't it be nice if an unbeliever could look forward to know what was going to take place there to avoid that judgment? And of course, we looked at that in Revelation chapter 20, so that a person can know that they can avoid that. They can be prepared, as it were. And you know, we can be prepared as well here in this life, because we know that what's going to happen there is there's going to be that examination of our works. There's going to be the extraction of those works as they're put to the test of fire. And the question is why did we do them? As our motives are exposed. And so how can we be prepared? Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at several places in Scripture this evening, and perhaps referring back to some of those passages that we just read. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a thought here about being prepared with respect to our works. And so this idea of being prepared is to look forward to that day when we will give an account to the Lord Jesus, the one that we serve. And you know, when we offer our service here in the assembly, it's not that we're serving the assembly. Now, we serve one another, and that's scripture that we do that. But in reality, who are we really doing it for? We're doing it for the Lord. We're serving Him. And it's to Him that we will give an account. And so we want to be prepared in that regard. In verse number 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Prepared for every good work. I like the song that Brother Michael gave out about searching us. And we want to search ourselves continually. And we want to keep short accounts with God, because we want to be that vessel unto honor. And I was thinking about that in light of what our brother Dave shared this morning, thinking about Daniel and being that one, that man or that woman of God to make a difference, to make a stand in this world. And if we're going to do that, we have to keep short accounts with God. And we have to deal with those things, keeping ourselves clean before Him. We want to be a vessel unto honor, to honor the Lord Jesus, to bring honor to Him. And as we do, we can be useful to the Master. Isn't that not what we want to do? We want to be useful to the Master. He saved us, and He's bought. We are bought with a price, the Scripture says, and we are not our own. And we want to be useful for His glory. And this is how we, when we do that, He says, we are prepared for every good work. To be useful, then we will be prepared for every good work. And so I'd like to think about this whole idea of being prepared. How can we do that? Some thoughts, and this is not an exhaustive study on this, but some things that come to my mind that I hope will challenge you as I think about my own preparation in thinking about standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, and give an account for what we do for Him. You know, when a person, how many of you use are members of AAA? Anybody in here members of AAA? Several of you are. Probably today's use of AAA is more if you maybe lock your keys in the car, get a flat tire, or one of those kind of things. But you know, used to be they were really good, and maybe they still are. They used to have these things called triptychs. Anybody remember those? They used to call them where you could say where you're going to be, you're going to start here, and you're going to go there and back, and they would map it all out for you. And they would even on those little maps, you'd flip it over to each one. Of course, now we have cell phones with GPS and all that kind of stuff, so we don't have to do that so much anymore. But I remember when you'd flip the page over, sometimes there would be a little yellow arrow there. And it would tell you like where there was going to be construction or this sort of thing. And all of this was done so that you would be prepared for that trip. You could use AAA to be prepared for that trip. Well, we're going to use AAA tonight. And hopefully it will help us in being prepared as well. The first of those is thinking about our abiding. And that's in John 15. John 15, if you would turn there. As we want to examine ourselves, we want to check our abiding. When we think about being prepared to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ, our abiding in Him will have an impact on our being prepared for that day. Abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, let's begin reading in verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And notice verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And so we can see here, if we want to have a fruitful life for the Lord Jesus Christ, what is absolutely necessary? And that is that we abide in Him. And I would suggest this is very comparable to some of the truths that our brother Dave was sharing this morning about Daniel and his own time with the Lord, his own commitment, and his own time of devotion to the Lord. And this is our abiding in Him, to abide in Him. And just like that branch, if that branch becomes disconnected from from the vine, obviously it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to be able to draw the sustenance and the nutrients and such that is needed for that fruit to grow on that branch. And it's exact same thing with us as believers. There's no way we're going to bear fruit. We're not going to be prepared for every good work if we are not abiding in the vine. And it's so critical. Our time with the Lord, our relationship with Him to be cultivated, and that we can be built up as strong believers in the Lord, just like that tree that is planted by the rivers in Psalm 1, again, that our brother Dave referred to. I thought it was neat to see many of the correlations of what he spoke on this morning with in connection with what we're talking about this evening. But he talks about these different stages here in John 15 of bearing fruit. And, you know, a lot of that, I think, is going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Is there will be probably those that maybe bore little or no fruit whatsoever. But then there's more fruit, and then there's much fruit. And he says, in this is my Father glorified. And that's what our desire should be. As we think and as we look forward and we want to be prepared to give an account to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then obviously our desire is to bring glory to Him. And that's how He's glorified, is that we bear much fruit. And if we're going to bear much fruit, what does that necessitate? Is that we abide in Him. And the Lord Jesus made it very clear. Without me, He said, we can do what? Nothing. We can't do a thing without Him. It's only through Him and in Him can we do anything. And then we can bear fruit for His glory. And of course, there's lots of that fruit could refer to a lot of different things. It could refer to that Christ-like character, the fruit of that Christ-like character by abiding in the vine. It could refer to our godly testimony, much like we talked about, we learned about Daniel this morning. We could talk about answer to prayer. What a privilege it is that we as believers, as we abide in Him, and He talks about here about our prayers as we abide in Him in John 15. And you know, I think an unbeliever that will watch your life and they know that you are a believer and that you pray, you know, it's amazing how many unbelievers that you associate with, they might not even confess that they trust Christ as their Savior or even believe in God necessarily. But you know, when they have a need, they'll come to you and ask for prayer many times. Many times they'll ask you to pray for them. And that's the testimony that we have. And we can share with them of how the Lord has answered prayer. And all of that is abiding in the vine. It's all connected with our abiding in Him. It can be referred, that fruit could be souls that we lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that God would use us. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. But that can be the fruit of our abiding in the vine. Is that part of that much and that more fruit is the privilege of sharing the gospel and leading others. And to me, I think there's hardly anything in the Christian life that brings more joy than watching someone else trust Christ as their Savior. It just brings so much joy to see one pass from death into life as you share the gospel and as they trust the Lord Jesus right there with you. It's a remarkable thing. Our faithful service and our good works could be involved in this fruit. And you know, that's what we're going to be given account for at the Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ when we think about abiding in Him. And so how important it is us that we abide in the vine if we want to be prepared for every good work. There was a little girl that was getting all dressed up to go to the meetings, go to Sunday school, and she was within walking distance, and she was running a little bit late, and she didn't want to be late, so she got her stuff together, and she got out, and she was running on her way there, and as she was running, she was saying, you know, Lord, just help me not to be late. Lord, help me not to be late. And before she knew it, she stumbled and she fell and she got a little rip in her dress and a little cut on her knee. And she got up and she said, I still don't want to be late. So she began to run some more. She began to pray, Lord, help me not to be late. But this time, just don't shove me. Well, you know, as Christians, our desire is to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to our service for Him, I don't believe a Christian should have to be shoved into a willingness shoved into a position of service for Him. That's our desire. That should be as natural as that apple tree branch growing an apple should be just as natural for a Christian to bear fruit and to be involved in the service and the work of the Lord. And so I ask you, as I ask myself, am I abiding in the vine? Is there evidence of fruit in my life? In all of these different ways we can talk about fruit. And we don't, once again, have to be pushed or shoved or coerced, because that's our desire. It's a natural thing, just like bearing fruit on the vine is a natural thing. Let me share with you what caught my attention and made the connection for me with the thought of abiding in Christ, abiding with respect to the judgment seat of Christ. It's found a verse in 1 John, if you would turn there. 1 John chapter 2. This is what really got my attention in wanting to be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ in this thought of abiding. 1 John chapter 2. And not to spend a long time in this passage, but just to notice this verse number 28. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear. And isn't that not what we're talking about? We're talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that roll is called up yonder. And when we're taken up to be with Him, and the Bible talks about the resurrection of the just, and then what's going to take place, I believe, is the judgment seat of Christ. And so He says, my little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You know, that scripture tells me that there is the possibility of being ashamed before Him at His coming. And so this thought of abiding in Him is important. And we can see exactly how it relates to the Lord as we are going to give an account to Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Because as we abide in Him, I would suggest, as we do, the natural result will be bearing fruit. And as we bear fruit for His glory, that will help us to be prepared for His coming and for the judgment seat of Christ. So we want to check our abiding. That's the first of those A's. The second is to think about our accountability. We want to check our accountability. And we're obviously, as believers, we're accountable for a lot of different things. And once again, this is not an exhaustive list of things that we want to check our accountability to, but some things that struck me or that came to my mind in Scripture. You might think of some others as well, and I'll be glad to hear about those after the meeting, because I want to know all I can as far as being prepared as well. But as we think about our accountability, what are some of the things scripturally that we are accountable for? Well, one of those things that we're accountable for that has a direct relation to the Lord as we give an account to Him at the judgment seat of Christ is the use of our spiritual gifts. We are accountable to Him for the use of our spiritual gifts. And if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Here we see, as every man has received the gift. Now, this is not every man in general, but this is every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we all have one or more spiritual gifts that He has given us that we can exercise in our service, in our work for Him. And we're going to give an account for the use of those gifts. And it says so. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 again. Every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards, we don't want to be an unfaithful steward when it comes to the grace that He has shown to us, and particularly the gift that He has given to us to use in service for Him. And so we want to be good stewards of that gift. Do you know what your gift is? And this is not a message that's going to be talking about gifts, but the idea that we're going to be accountable for that. And so if we're going to be accountable for it, obviously we've got to know how the Lord has gifted us. What is our aptitudes that He has given us, our spiritual gifts that we can use for His glory? Because we are stewards, and we're going to give an account to the Lord Jesus as stewards for how He has gifted us and our exercise of that gift particularly. We are responsible, so we want to exercise those to serve our Master, the Lord Jesus, and obviously to use those to serve others as the gift applies to that. William MacDonald described a steward as a servant who cares for the person or property of another. In other words, when He gives us these spiritual gifts, they are His. They are gifts to us. And we are just simply stewards of what He's given to us. In other words, He's entrusted them to us for the purpose of using it. And that's what that's our accountability to Him. They're not ours. They're His. And we are stewards of what He has given to us to use for His glory. And you know what is a wonderful truth? And I was going to turn here, but I'll just read the scripture to you. Is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, it says this: "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found," what, do you know? It says faithful. Faithful. That a man be found faithful as a steward, not successful. We want to make that point. I remember Brother Charlie Crawford often saying that as believers, we are not required to be successful, as it were, in our work, in our service for Him, because who can rate success? That's in His. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, who is the one who gives the increase? God is the one who gives the increase. The success, as it were, is up to Him. And you know, I remember making this comparison at some point in my study of the Scripture, is in thinking about Noah. You remember Noah being the Bible refers to him as being a preacher of righteousness. And to think of him preaching for 120 years, and the only ones who believed were his own family. They're the only ones who got on the ark. Can you imagine if that was your spiritual gift? I mean, we don't have 120 years to use it. Could you imagine using your spiritual gift for 120 years and no one believing except your own family? I mean, that's amazing. On the other hand, you can think of an example of Jonah. And here was Jonah, who was God's prophet, and he fled. He didn't want to obey the Lord. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And God had His plan for the Ninevites to hear the message was so strong that He had the fish to swallow him up and spit him out on the land until he was finally willing to be obedient. And when he finally did it, what happened? There was a great revival in that wicked city of Nineveh. God is the one who gives the increase. Aren't you glad that that's not our responsibility? Our accountability is not to be successful. Our accountability is to be faithful. To be faithful in exercising the spiritual gifts that He has given to us. You know, I look out here and I can see so many of you that are involved in so many areas of service, whether it be deacon work, whether it be serving on the ladies' committee, whether it be preaching up here, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class. There are those who do the grounds, or there are those who serve back in the recording room, and the ushers. There's so many areas of service. And that's just here in the assembly. There's so many areas of service that we do outside the assembly. And you know, isn't it good to know that we are required, that we are going to give an account as stewards to be faithful? What has He called you to do? Are you faithful in that area of service? Because that's where we're going to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for our faithfulness as a steward. What else, though, are we going to give an account for? Not only the use of our gifts, but the use of our money. We're going to give an account I believe, for how our stewardship, not only our spiritual gift, but also the use of our money. If you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse number 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. And let me just pause right there, because when you read the word rich, you know, we might think, well, guess what? I'm off the hook because I'm not rich. But you know, when we stop and think about ourselves and the land in which we live, and if we compare ourselves to the most of the population of the world, we are rich. We are very rich. The Lord has blessed us greatly. And we're going to give an account for how he has blessed us. And so he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And what he has blessed us with, where did it come from? It came from God. It came from him. And we are accountable as stewards to the one who gave it to us. Look at verse 18. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. And that's what we're talking about. Looking forward to the future, storing up a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about sowing and reaping and how we do that. And he says, so let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our attitude of heart and being willing to share and use the resources that God has given to us, investing for eternity. Also for the use of our tongue. This is very specific in Scripture. And you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you for sake of time. In Matthew 12 and verse 36, listen to what he says about the use. We're going to give an account for the use of our words. How we use our tongue is so important. You can look at James chapter 3. He's got a whole chapter on the use of our tongue. But in Matthew 12, here the Lord would say, but I say unto you that for every idle word men shall speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. Every idle word that we speak, we will give an account of. He says, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. William MacDonald wrote this. He said, in the case of believers, the penalty for careless speech has been paid through the death of Christ. However, our careless speech, unconfessed and unforgiven, will resort in the loss of reward at Christ's judgment seat. And so we want to be careful on how we use our words. Why? Because we know we're going to give an account. Very specifically, we're told that. There's a lot of things we're going to give an account for, but he says to give an account for our words. Also for the use of our time. James chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read that to you. James chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, come now you that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And once again, this refers to our stewardship. And our lives that are here for just as a vapor for a short period of time, and then it vanishes away, and then we're given an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And so what time that we have, we want to invest in eternity. Now obviously, we have to deal with things in this life because this is where we live. If we're parents and we have families, and if we're accountable to our employers at work and all of those things. But to think of how we invest our time, particularly our free time. How do we use particularly our free time? And to seek first the kingdom of God and setting our affections on things above and not being tangled with the affairs of this life, as the scripture says, that we may please him who has enlisted us as a soldier. If you would turn to 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter 1, 17. Because this is really what brought this thought of our time to me, this particular scripture, 1 Peter 1, 17, and how I use my time. And I'll be honest with you, as I think of this verse, man, I think about the the time that I have wasted, that I can't get back, it's gone. Once the time is used, it's gone. And the time that we have here to use and to invest for eternity, because that is, as stewards, we're going to give an account, I believe, for these things. And 1 Peter 1:17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." And so thinking about the judge and giving an account to him, and you know, he's going to judge us without any partiality whatsoever. There's not going to be any playing favorites. All of us are going to give an account as stewards to what he has given to us. And one of the things he's given to us is time. And to pass our time here, our stay here in fear. In John 9, the Lord said, "While it is day," he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work." This is our opportunity while our lives are here to use the time that he has given to us. And so these are the things that we want to think about, our accountability. Another is the use of the gospel. You know, he has entrusted this to us. I appreciate what our brother Jerry prayed in his prayer as the very thoughts that I was bringing out. He mentioned in his prayer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where the thoughts came from. In his prayer, and it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Do we do that? As we think about the God that would say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, when we think about the terror of the Lord, do we persuade men? That's one of the things I believe that is entrusted to us is the gospel. That's entrusted to us as believers is the good news of the gospel, because where he says that we persuade men, we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, you go down in that same passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and notice that this is one of the passages that teaches us about the judgment seat of Christ. He has already told us that we're going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And now he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And you go on down a little further in verse 18 of the same chapter. And this is what he says. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." He's given us that ministry. And we are stewards of that. And he says, "That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." And so he's given us the gospel and the ministry of that gospel of reconciliation. And that is entrusted to us. And we are to be stewards of that, I believe, in spreading the good news. Aren't we thankful for the one who was a good steward that shared it with us? Where would we be if the one who shared it with us wasn't a good steward of the gospel in using that word of reconciliation to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, our accountability for these things? And then the third A in being prepared is attitude. Our attitude. And this goes back to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, where he says, "Let every man take heed how he builds on that foundation." How we do it is important. And three things quickly. I know we don't have much time, but I'd like to really get these in. How we do that, we need to do it with humility. Humility. You know, we've talked about being good stewards of the gifts that we have. But you know what would be easy to do is, as we see the Lord blessing and using us in our service for him, as we're abiding in the vine and there's fruit that comes as a result of that, it would be easy for the flesh to say, "Man, look what I've done for the Lord," you know? It would be easy to fall into that trap and to have a spirit of pride. And then to go into our service for the Lord in a spirit of pride. But that's when we need to be on guard against those things. We need to be serving with humility. I wish we had time to turn where we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, there's that scripture that we have read in the past about how everything will be exposed Everything will be brought to light. All the hidden things of darkness, including our pride, I believe, as it affects our service. And right down, two verses later, when he talks about these things being exposed, he talks about his servant. He says, why would you boast about these things? Obviously, we can't. It's the gift that he's given to us to serve him. We can't boast over those things. If God happens to bless, to God be the glory. He is the one that gets the glory. We have no room for pride. So we want to serve with humility. So much more could be said about that. We need to serve with love as well. We're not going to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I know that you're all familiar with that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. But you know all the things that he lists about our service for him? He says we can do all these grand things. We can give our bodies to be burned, and we can speak with the tongues of angels, as it were. And if we don't have love, what does he say? We are nothing. We're nothing. To do it in an attitude of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time when we are exercising our spiritual gift, to think, I want to do this out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to get tired sometimes in ministry. And I had some scriptures that I wish we had time to go into to encourage us in that regard, in thinking about our service for him, that he will not, God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love. I love that scripture. It's easy to get tired in ministry. And you know, God is not going to be unfaithful to forget those things. He knows what we do for his glory. And so knowing that, and we're going to give an account, we want to do it in humility. We want to do it in love. And also we want to do it, obviously, to the glory of God. Let me just read this scripture real quick in Luke 14, 13 and 14. He says, and when you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. They cannot repay you. And he says, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. In other words, not doing it for ourselves, not doing it for our glory, not doing it to receive back, but to do it for the glory of God. And of course, we know the scripture says, and whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do all to what? The glory of God. And that should characterize our service as well. Well, we're out of time for this evening, but to think about some of these things, to be prepared. We want to be prepared. In thinking about our accountability to him, to think about abiding in him, to think about our attitude, serving with the right attitude before him. All of these things, I trust, will be an incentive to help us to be prepared to that end. Lord willing, next time we want to look into the rewards, because that's part of the judgment seat of Christ is rewards. There are some promises here that I would like to consider, and I hope that you will be blessed as we have opportunity to look at that, thinking about those rewards, those promises that he talks about there. This has been a challenging study to me, an encouraging study to me. I hope it has been to you as well. And prepare us even this week in thinking about our service for him. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you, once again, we're amazed that you would seek to use creatures like us. Father, we're sinners. We have no good in and of ourselves. But we thank you, Father, that when we're saved, we're new in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your Spirit to live within us, to empower us, and that you have equipped us with spiritual gifts by which we can actually serve you, by which we can actually perform acts of service for you that are acceptable to you, the God of heaven. What an amazing thing from sinners like us. And so, Father, we thank you that as we think of these things, might we be challenged, might we be encouraged to want to serve you out of humility, out of love, and for the glory of God, and not to bring any glory to ourselves, but that the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted in our lives as we pray in his name. Amen.